Motherland Media is on the air. You are listening to African Perspectives on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. African Perspectives, where we talk about the issues of our day from an African worldview, an African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak. Having been granted permission, to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters and friends, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. So I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is always an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who is living, and everyone who will live in the future. We have a common ancestral root. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were other cultures as well, such as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, great civilizations that were flourishing while Europe was still in the medieval or dark age. So we pour this libation to those contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, uprooted out of Africa, laying a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. They are now in North America, Central America, South America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to brothers and sisters who suffered the Holocaust of enslavement, of captivity. We do not know their names, but because of them, we are here. So we honor them and their sacrifice. We say Ashe. We pour libation to those men and women who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you'll know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a slave want to do? It wants to get free. There's over 400 recorded revolts of our people fighting on the continent, throughout the Middle Passage, and this hemisphere. We resisted. We were not slaves. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master, and we haven't and we will never submit. So we give honor and reverence to those men and women who fought. Denmark Vesey, Gabriel Prosser, Harriet Tubman, Nat Turner, and many, many others. We honor them. We respect them for always standing and fighting for the liberation of our people. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history has a free and proud and productive people. We say ashe. We pour this libation to the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good community life because we don't have good family life. Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is bad because we lack consciousness. Consciousness is more than just awareness. It's a deeper understanding of who you are culturally, historically, and the necessity to come together to produce family, which is produces good community life. So we pour this libation to the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We say ashe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, I hope all is well with you today. Hope you're having a great day. This is Good Friday, so I hope you have a very good Friday. And I hope you get a chance to do all the things that you want to do, must do, should do, better do, can do, and I hope you do. And I hope the weather is accommodating for you to do it. But if it isn't, you got to do it anyway. So get it done. Hope you have a great weekend, this holiday weekend. I said it is Good Friday. We're going to talk about that. But you are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com, where you can call our number and give us your African perspectives at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. And if you cannot listen live, you can go to the archives, timeforanawakening.com. Scroll down on the right till you get to the red, black, and green line with the African post, and there you go. Hit that and search that and get the previous recorded programs that are dated and titled and dated. On Mondays, 6 p.m., all times that I'm going to give are Eastern times. On Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia. Right after that, 8 p.m. to 9, Let's Buy Black 365, which is also a simulcast on Facebook. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. Black Reality Think Tank airs from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday. On Wednesday, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. On Thursdays, last night, had a good time. I was the host for Us Lifting Us. And Sister Nanana did an outstanding job of articulating some of the things that we're involved with Us Lifting Us. And I just want to say I'm so proud of what we're doing, and I hope that many of you take part. Of course, our cafe, Cafe Ulu, is open Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and it's located 2036 Sylvan Road. You can call to order your coffee and have it so when you get there, it's ready for you at 470-788-8124. That is Cafe Ulu, where we serve coffee. We're going to be known for coffee. We have coffee from Cameroon, Tanzania, Kenya, Ethiopia, and many more places. So come check us out, Cafe Ulu. Check us out on the website, CAFULU.com, Cafe Ulu. Also, to check out usliftingus.com. And we go to the website to check out the Power Summit that we had a couple of weeks ago. Okay? That's us lifting us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people, in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. On Friday, 8 p.m., this Friday, tonight, 8 p.m., Eastern Time, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Tomorrow, Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. And on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., no, it ain't me, it's Sister POC. That's right, Revive, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. And then Sunday night, 7 p.m., it's, again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Going on to this weekend in Detroit is the Provisional Government of the Republic of New Africa's new National Africa Day. And that starts yesterday, and it'll end on Sunday with all kinds of activities. Brother Jamoke is enjoying himself and all the other brothers and sisters and all the activities that they have planned for the 50th anniversary of the Republic of New Africa. Conference coming up here in Atlanta, the 21st Century Black Survival Conference on the 14th. It will be here. It'll be at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. There are three areas of concern or that'll be focused: spirituality, culture, and survival. Spirituality, that component will be led by the master teacher, and he truly is, Brother Oshua Kwesi, African History and Spirituality, the Origins of the Bible and Quran. And then culture will be Baba Mwalimu Baruti. Baba Baruti is an outstanding educator and scholar, and he'll be talking about a warrior's character. We need to raise warriors, men and women, young men and young women, to be warriors. And what did I mean by that? That, no, they're just not going to school so they can go bake crackers for jobs. No, they're going to school so they can help develop the sovereignty that we must have as a people. So they are true warriors. And then, of course, survival. The survival component will be Irritated Genie and the African Survival in the 21st Century. That's on the 14th of this month, and we'll have somebody come in and talk about that, hopefully within the next week. I know I talked to Brother Kifuru, and good Brother Kifuru he has the survival program on Tuesday evening, Brother Kifuru, and he starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. On Blog Talk Radio, and that number is 515-602-9781. 515-602-9781. And that is African Survival. That is coming out of the Straight Black Pride. Also, too, Brother Yusuf Muhammad. It was Joseph, and now it's Yusuf Muhammad. And his program, which is Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, is this evening from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. From 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. today, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, and that's 563-999-3089. 563-999-3089. Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness with my good brother and friend, Brother Yusuf Muhammad. This is Friday, and this weekend, of course, is the Easter weekend. Good Friday, but it's also too still part of the NC2A March Madness. Tomorrow, the Final Four. And if you've watched any games, you've checked out the like I said, they have so much money. The NC2A has so much. They have their own floors and hoops and you name it. So when they come to your city, they're bringing their stuff. They'll put your city's name by the scorers table, right in front of the scorers table, whether it's Atlanta, the Sweet 16, and Elite Eight places where Atlanta, Omaha, was it New York? They're big cities. Oh, Los Angeles. Los Angeles is one of them. You know, the first round and second round, they're all over because there's multiple, you know. But when you look at the floor, it'll tell you first round, second round, Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final Four. And so the floor you'll see tomorrow's will be the Final Four. And squaring off in first game will be Loyola of Chicago, which is my pick. Loyola of Chicago. That's right. They haven't had a, they did win the championship, they said, back in 63. I researched that. But I remember in the latter part of the 60s, they had LaRue Martin. That was one of their best teams. Because they were a Catholic school like Marquette. And they used to always play each other. So always be really tough games. Marquette and DePaul and Loyola. Yep. Notre Dame, back in the days of the Catholic schools. And then they're going to play Michigan. Loyola's playing Michigan. And then the second game, of course, Michigan, I think, is number 7, 8. I don't know. But Loyola's number 11. And Kansas and Villanova are number 1. They're both number 1 seeds. I don't know. Was Michigan that high up? Might have been number 5 or 6, something like that. I don't know. I don't care as long as Loyola wins, and I don't care about Kansas or Villanova winning. As long as Duke was out, and thank you, Kansas. So winning the whole thing, that would be great if Loyola won the whole thing. But March Madness really is a stirring reminder of what America was founded on, making tons of money off the labor of unpaid black people. I went to the high school All-American game with my grandson, seeing all the future players. One just did what I said he should do. Not necessarily he. One did what I said they should do. Some should do, whether we put it that way. He's not going to go to college. He's going to play in the G League. He'll make about $30,000. And he'll, based upon what they're saying about him, he'll still be a lottery pick. Brandon Jennings, who plays with the Bucks again, he went to China, or he went overseas instead of going to college. Ben Simmons went to LSU, but he didn't go to class because he knew, why am I here? I'm here to satisfy a stupid one-and-done rule. But, of course, the NCAA and the NBA's collaboration on that, their collusion. No collusion. They colluded on kids coming out of school so the NCAA could have a good player, at least for 1 year. Just the same thing happened with Carmelo Anthony. He went to Syracuse 1 year. They won a national championship. Why go back? He won a national championship, you know? I'm telling you. So as you enjoy the games, and, of course, it's over on Monday. I'll be talking about that again. And but, of course, today is Good Friday.
This call is being recorded.
Today is Good Friday. Oh, we have a caller. 646. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, what's up, Oshie? It's Brother Jay.
Hey, Jay, how are you today? Good.
I'm good. I'm good, brother. Listen, in regards to that high school basketball player going to the G League, nah, he won't make that much. He'll make $19,000 a year, but what'll probably happen is he'll maybe sign a small, decent-sized contract with a shoe company based on his projection to the following year go into the draft and maybe get drafted. From what I've seen, He's a decent prospect. They say he has the potential to make it to the league.
Right. They projected him as a lottery pick. They did.
He's not a lottery pick. Not yet.
Well, let me say this though. Let me say this, Jay. I went to the game with my grandson, and there was one young man who I felt definitely would be a lottery pick who's undecided. And to me, I mean, this young man was outstanding, at least for that day. And where the average is 30-some points, so obviously he can score. And he was scoring from the outside as well as inside. And thin brother, one, you know, a usual young person's basketball build. You know, unfortunately, Kevin Durant just never got a better or bigger build, but something like that on that line. You know, very slick ball handler, shoots with ease from the three, well, at least the college three, but that's just a few feet more, and I'm quite sure he can do that as well. And I would, to me, I don't know, Jay, I would go to the G League.
See, the thing is, you have to look at it in regards to economics and development. Now, from my observation, you know what I mean? If he's going to go into the D League and get with a team that's going to develop him, it's one thing. But see, you got to take this into consideration. Now, the D League is basically a minor league system for NBA teams. So they have players that they feel need development that they're developing. So it's to be determined how much real development he will get. You know what I mean? Will an NBA team that has other players to develop on their G League team, will they spend the coaches the necessary time and focus on him, knowing that there's a possibility that they may be developing him to be picked by another team?
That's a good point.
That's something that you have to look at also. But now let me finish. In regards to, there's other options like maybe going overseas, which I think is more of an economic option than it is a development option, because in a lot of ways your development would probably be better here, but your compensation financially will be greater overseas. So there's a lot of things in play in this. I mean, there's one NBA player right now that took the route that the young man is taking that's doing pretty decent. He's getting a little run, and it seems as though he's going to develop. It's this kid that plays for OKC. I think his name is Ferguson. You know, he did the same thing that this young man is doing last year and was able to get drafted. You know, so me, I'm always the type that, you know, if you can go to college, I would say go to college just based on the simple fact of the associations that you will garner that will be beneficial. You know what I mean? So even if you're a one-and-done player, to me, it would behoove you to go to college, to do the necessary things to make the contacts and to get the exposure, in a sense. So it's a two-headed sword. I just hope that the young man is able to go to the G League, somebody picks him, and that he's able to get you know, a sneaker contract. Because the one good thing I will say is this, from my understanding, the G League do provide for housing. So that may be one thing that out of that $19,000 contract that he won't have to worry about. I think there's a couple other things that they may also provide, maybe transportation or something like that. But it's a gamble that if I was in his shoes, I don't know if I would honestly recommend it at the expense of $19,000-$20,000. Now, if you get a contract for a shoe company for, let's say, $100,000 a year on top of that $19,000, then it's basically a no-brainer. But, you know, he's going to really have to apply himself and play at a very high level, or it's going to cost him. But then again, you know, there's always overseas where you're more than likely to make tax-free $150,000 on the low end. Because I know a couple of people that's playing overseas, and they're doing like $200,000 a year tax-free. So it's really not, you know, it's a little better over there.
And see, I look at it like that to some degree. I just can't stand the NC2A, Jay. I just can't stand him. I've had a bug up my ass about the National Collegiate Athletic Association for, I don't know, well over 20-something years, has a usury system. You know,
well, here, it is a usury system, but who fathers it? In all honesty, the fault of the NCAA is, number one, the parents, and number two, the athletes. Because, see, if the parents decided to tell their children that, listen, we're going to have to change the paradigm of this and boycott. If collectively they ever had a mass boycott of the NCAA, what basically will happen is they'll give them a nice little stipend to help them out. And that's always been my issue. I feel as though on top of a scholarship, student athletes should get a stipend of, let's say, maybe $500 to $750 a month on top of the scholarship. And that would be more than enough money for them to be able to, you know, go out,
Here's my thing, Jay, and I like that. Because my thing also involves a stipend, but it's a little bit more. And that money would be held in an account. They don't go to school. They don't go to class. They play for the school. A scholarship is guaranteed to them after their playing time is over, after their so-called eligibility is up. So in that way, they can function. They can focus on their studies. And not just a bachelor's degree. I'm asking for a advanced degree because they have provided the university with so much money. Okay?
Not going to happen.
Okay. Well, hey, let me say it this way, Jay. I agree. It may not happen, but there's a lot of things that really could happen, particularly if the parents and the students or the athletes would tell the NCAA, we're not going to play until something is done, until we come to the table to deal with this. Because here you have coaches who are making – the coaches in the NCAA in the Big Power Conference, they make more money than any person in that state. That coach is a public employee of that state, and he makes more, or she makes more, usually it's a he, in football and basketball, in those big conferences, than anybody in that state. Nick Saban is making $11 million a year.
The average salary for Division I coaches, from my understanding, is over $200,000. That's low mid. That's all Division I coaches.
Right. So I'm not, and which is decent. That's a decent salary to coach football. $200,000.
I believe it is a.
Yes, I ain't got no problem with that. But I'm talking about.
No, I don't have.
I'm talking about the so-called power conferences, the Pac-12, the Big Ten, the Big Eight, Southeastern Conference. You know, these bigger schools, these so-called five or six conferences that are big conferences, where the coaches, like John Calipari, and I will give Calipari some prop. I don't like Calipari, but I'll give him some prop, and I wish that John Chaney would have kicked his ass, but that's another story. But I'll give him some prop, because what he is saying to parents of prospective players, listen, I can say to you that Kentucky is great academically, this, that, and the other, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to say to you, I'm going to help your son get drafted into the NBA, because if your son gets drafted, he'll get a contract and he'll get paid. I ain't saying where he's going to get drafted. I ain't saying he's going to be a lottery pick, but he'll get drafted. And when he said that about 3 or 4 years ago, he had 8 young men who were on a dais, and at least 6 of them got drafted and they got paid. Now, John Calipari just signed a huge contract where he's making tens of millions of dollars on an extended $50 million contract for 8 years or 7 years, something to that effect. Ridiculous money. And let me tell you how I understood this, even way back when. Al McGuire, and I know you know Al McGuire because you're from New York. Al McGuire is from New York. He coached at Marquette, and he made Marquette a perennial power back in the day. He picked up Dean Memminger, and you know Dean Memminger. Dean Memminger passed about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. Dean the Dream. And he said, he pointed to a paved driveway. And he said, Dean Memminger did that for me. He recognized the value. He wasn't advocating that the players get paid, but he knew their value. He knew what they would do for a program, you know. And in fact, when he won in 77 against North Carolina, right here at the Omni here in Atlanta, he won a national championship. He retired and went into broadcasting, you know.
Yep, one of the best.
Yeah, but my contention
is Lee, who went to high school with my brother, he went there to Marquette.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, oh. I've been knowing about Marquette for a long time. Matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, Butch is a serious real estate guy in even Milwaukee or Cleveland. One of those.
No, he might be in Cleveland because he's not in Milwaukee.
He's a serious.
Right.
Well, yeah. he's a serious real estate.
Really?
Dude.
Well, I know he's from Puerto Rico. I know Butch Lee is from Puerto Rico. Hey, we got another caller who wants to probably get in on this conversation. 443 caller. 443.
Yes, this is Brother Sanifu from Baltimore.
How you doing, brother? Welcome to the program.
Fine.
Thank you for calling.
Yes. Basically, what I called to get your email information so I can send you some information.
Oh, sure. You can take it right over the air. You ready?
Okay.
OSHI 427.
427.
Yep. A is in Apple, D is in dog, E is in Edward. OSHI 427 ADE at gmail.com.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, and also, when I send it to you, please share with Brother Jay. I'd like to get his information in terms of what he thinks about it.
I sure will. I'll probably.
I'll give it to you. I'll give it to
okay.
you now. It's L B A M E N A at yahoo.com.
Okay.
Repeat that, Jay.
It's L as in Larry. B as in boy, A as in apple, M as in Mary, E as in Edward, N as in Nancy, R as in Ralph, A as in apple at yahoo.com.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right, dear brother. Well, continue to listen. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is in this, like all things, Brother Oshi, it seems like we have to position ourselves to where as we dictate the terms of any relationship. And for some reason, to do that, you know what I mean? If you think about it, you know?
I'm sorry, Jay, you broke up on me that time. Go ahead and make that point. You broke up on me.
Yeah, we don't try to make ourselves in a position to dictate the terms of any relationship that we have with anybody. It's like we seem to always try to just get along,
mm-hmm.
to not be dominant,
right.
to not try to dictate the terms of a relationship, you know what I mean, with that which has oppressed you. You know what I mean? It's like everybody talks about, well, we need to forgive them, we need to let it, you know, pass us, we need to move forward. No, you don't move forward with your oppressor. You're supposed to take your oppressor's head off every chance that you get. Why do you think you're still in this position?
Exactly.
Because you haven't punished your oppressor.
Because you keep going along to get along. You keep going along to get along. You keep scratching where your ass don't itch. You keep laughing when ain't nothing funny. Yes. I hear you. You're right.
You think your oppressor doesn't remember what he did to you? It's like, you know, a man abuses a woman and he mistreats his woman. Don't you think and don't you realize that once your woman gets strong enough and become clear enough of who and what she is and what her value is, she's going to punish your ass?
Mm-hmm.
I ain't never in my life seen a weak woman who became strong and became aware of who and what she was and what her situation was continue to allow a man to abuse her. And most of the time, in all honesty, they get you back and they put it on you.
Yeah, that's
because
right.
They just figure it out. And that's one thing that we as a people collectively haven't done. We haven't figured it out. I'll give you the perfect example of what's going on in the media right now. That little Urugu, Laura Ingram, or whatever the hell her name is, went out there and attacked that little young Urugu. And what did that little smart so-called Urugu do? He went out there and now he's punishing her. What did he do? He went after her money. He put the list of 12 advertisers and put out an email, well, put out a tweet to his, I think, 400,000, followers. And what they do, they start the
That's
campaign.
Right. That's right. They put pressure.
They boycott her behind.
Yep, they
now,
put
from
pressure.
From my understanding, 7 out of the 12 have removed themselves from her show. Now, what do that tell you? She ain't for a downfall.
Mm-hmm.
They go get rid of her just like they got rid of O'Reilly. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So the bottom line is, what makes you think that we don't have that same sort of power in the city? I mean, look at what they did to Otis on Twitter. You know what I mean? It just goes to show that if you have a certain position, you, number one, are supposed to take advantage of your position when necessary.
That's why I believe, just like what you just announced, what you just reiterated, that's why I believe that if the young men and women in these power conferences specifically would say, hey, we're not dribbling the ball, we're not marching and running up in field until this issue is rectified, until we as athletes in these superpower conferences, which bring in so much money into the NCAA, the NCAA brings their own damn floors in. They write on it, round one, round two, sweet 16, elite eight, final four. They bring their own stuff. That's how much money. They have so much money, they try to figure out ways that they could spend money. I'm sorry, go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, a stipend of $700 to student athletes wouldn't cost them nothing.
No,
basically.
And that's why
that's
why I'm saying I would up the stipend. I would up it to
I would put it in the range to where, as you know, one would feel as though they're getting something, and one would feel as though it ain't really hurting the NCAA. Now, if you want to say $1,000. Okay,
sure.
So be it.
Or whatever.
Still, you know what I mean?
Right.
But the point of the matter, if you give the kid something to where as he could do certain things, you know what I mean? Then, hey, it is what it is. But also what comes with that is certain responsibility. Because what I would do if I was placed in that situation, I would make it that these student athletes that play basketball would at least have to go to college for 2 years.
No,
then
bump
they
that,
would
Jay.
Definitely get something in return. Oshie, in this situation here.
Let me say this. Right, I agree and I understand that, but let me just say this: what I would do. They're not going to class. They're not going to English class or physics class. Okay, in the piece that I was going to play from with John Oliver last week tonight, there's some things that were put in there that I kind of was so turned off about. Because in the piece, they talk about taking these so-called BS courses. One was an African history course, American African history course. I was offended, but I became even more offended when he said, yeah, there's another, like a Swahili course. You had to have me take a Swahili course. You know, hell, all of us should be taking a damn Swahili course. We need to learn an African language, but that's another story. But what I was totally turned off about was the fact that, you know, you remember when Shabazz Napier won the national championship and he said, there's many nights that I go to bed hungry. You know, there's just no food. And so what did the NC2A do? They offered to for late at night for them to have some kind of the cafeteria to be open so these so-called student athletes can get a sandwich. Okay, that's their thing. And see, Mark Emmert, who is in charge of the NC2A, I can't stand him. In fact, when I see him, I want to punch him in the face. I want to punch him in the face because of how arrogant he is. He's so adamant.
Is that bail money?
Huh?
Bail money or do it where, you know, matter of fact, best place to do it would probably be in the bathroom.
Let me say this, and also too, I hate Dabo Swinney for the Clemson Tigers national championship. He had signed at that time. He said this. He had just signed a $5 million contract, and understand these coaches. Right. That's a $5 million contract from the state of South Carolina. Okay.
Right.
But he also signs a contract with the apparel company. Under Armour, Nike, Reebok, Adidas, whatever. And all those players have to wear because the coach signed that contract. He got the money for those young people to do that. Then he also has a television program. He has a radio program, and he has other multiple endorsements. So he has five revenue streams, okay, while the kids have nothing. Hold on, let me finish, Jay. Some of my little bit of a rant here. Let me finish. So not only that, so he was on this program, and he was so adamant that the kids, in fact, he said, well, when they start to play the pairs, that's when I got to go. Well, damn it, you should go right now. He was so adamant that these young people should not get any kind of compensation for putting their lives on the line, especially in football, especially in football. The reality is this, though, Jay. The vast majority of the players in the NC2A big conferences, they go to school for one reason, Jay, and you know it. They go to school because their whole idea that they believe they'll get drafted in the NFL, they'll get drafted in the NBA. That's why they go to school. And the university plays on that. They know these kids are top-notch athletes.